In a minute, we're going to read our passage for today, but just to introduce it, it's Luke 8:40-48. And just to put it in its context, and I'm sure you know a lot about the Gospels. I'm sure you could tell me a thing or two. But just in case you struggle with the Gospels a bit, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Matthew has got a particular emphasis on trying to look at the Old Testament and how it relates to what's happening with Jesus and how it relates to the church. And Matthew is trying to look at the whole big picture. Mark, as you probably know, is quite a short gospel. It starts off, I remember saying this a few weeks ago, it starts off very fast. And as it gets to Jesus' passion, to the cross, it kind of slows down so you can really see what's going on. John, I've got a particular thing about it. I love John's gospel. It's like a series of scenes in a movie, a series of conversations. And John's gospel is a wonderful, wonderful gospel. Luke, as you know, is a doctor. And if you think of Luke's gospel, it kind of starts like you're quite a long way away from Jesus, like he's over there. And it's almost like the focus of the camera is moving in on Jesus. So as the gospel goes on, we get closer to Jesus, we get closer to the action. And this passage we're going to look at tonight, we're getting closer. We're looking at two miraculous healings, and one's actually a resurrection. And we've sort of got this feeling that we're kind of approaching Jesus and getting closer to him.
So the reading's Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had instantly been healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This is the gospel of Christ.
I'm going to look at this passage with a particular angle, and that's looking at our faith. Now you might think, yes, it's always about our faith, isn't it? But I want to think of it in terms of our faith. That is the faith that is in us. But not to confuse that with the faith. Because the faith is what we say in the creed, isn't it? I believe in one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is the same faith for each of us. But the faith we have in us is kind of that thing that takes us from here to Jesus over here. Okay. And what I'm going to say and suggest for each of us, our faith looks slightly different. Okay. And we shouldn't compare our faith necessarily with other people's. Each of us has got a different kind of faith, but as long as it's enough to come from here to Jesus, then we can bring that faith to him and Jesus can do something with it. And in this passage, we've got two examples of faith. But I'm going to look at some others as well. Okay. Now, the first part is about Jairus. And a man named Jairus says in verse 40, 41, the following, a synagogue leader came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Now, what sort of faith did Jairus have that brought him to Jesus? Because he was a respected synagogue leader. And Jesus was the sort of face you'd see on a wanted poster, really, in many ways, amongst the synagogue people. He was controversial. He to come and approach him and ask for help was quite a bold step for Jairus. And I suppose you say, well, if his daughter was poorly, if his daughter was at death's door, you'd do anything for your children to help them. So Jairus had a kind of practical, desperate faith. We're just singing, you know, I'm desperate for you. That's what Jairus was like. He had this faith that was desperate. He'd do anything. But also, he had another quality. He had patience. Jairus had great patience. Now, if you read the story, if you know the story well, Jesus, on his way to do this healing of his daughter, when suddenly he gets interrupted. Have you ever been in a situation, I wonder, where you're just wanting to do something and you keep getting thwarted? Anyone had that feeling? And in fact, it's actually a common bad dream or nightmare. I've had it. Have you ever had that nightmare where you seem to be somewhere and you want to get somewhere else, but you can't seem to get away? Anyone had that? I've got a clip here, which is from a kid's film, but I think it's a good example of this. And bear with me, if you will. Hope this works.
Right now.
Wait. They're all sluts?
What are you saying? Because it's a slut, you can't be fast.
Well, on your doorstep. Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Too.
Officer Judy, how's he need help?
I am doing.
Experiences like that. You're just trying to get on and nothing happens. Yes. So if Jairus has this patient faith that he's desperate for his daughter to get healed, and Jesus is there, and suddenly there's this big interruption, he must be saying, come on, never mind this, come on, get on, do this. What sort of faith does that mean for us today that we might have? I suppose it's the kind of faith where if you're praying for somebody for a long time and nothing seems to happen, or if there's something you want to happen in church, or if there's something, a neighbour you're trying to talk to and they don't seem to be interested, it's that kind of faith. So that's Jairus. He was quite bold in asking Jesus, but also he had a patient faith. The sort of faith that today we'd want to see our church grow. We want to see people grow in their faith, and we need that kind of patient faith. But here's another kind that we can see. A woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, verse 43, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. So this is a different kind of faith. Again, she's desperate, like Jairus. She's in a desperate, desperate situation, but she's kind of reaching out to Jesus. It's almost like a superstitious faith. She doesn't know what's going to happen. All she can do is reach out. But this lady was an outcast. Okay? She was unclean. Because of her condition, she was on the edge. And we know from the Bible that Jesus had a particular heart for people like that. Yeah? Think of the Good Samaritan. The fact that Jesus hung around with people that were thought of being sinners. Those were the outcasts. So this lady had the faith of an outcast. So again, thinking about today, who are the outcasts today that we think of now? Is it people who maybe have got sort of trouble with the police? Is it people who have got debt problems or maybe drug or alcohol problems? What do we think of as being outcasts today? And if we have the faith like this woman, what I suggest is sometimes if we feel that our witness to people who are clean and good and ordinary and fine is not going so well, I suggest maybe we should try to witness to people who are these outcasts. And they're all around us. Because that's where Jesus' heart is. But she was looking in and she was reaching out. And she had that kind of faith. Verse 45, who touched me, Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. I don't think we sometimes grasp the full impact of what Jesus says there when he says go in peace. I mean, some of us will know the word shalom, which is a Hebrew word meaning peace. But the sort of our understanding today of peace is not quite the same as then. And even then it's difficult to get the whole thing of it. I saw a good quote about what shalom means. Shalom is a place where mercy, where forgiveness and honesty and transparency have met. It's a place where no secrets are hidden, where no grudges are kept, where no scores are tallied. It's a place where we are freely justified without any merit, where peace and justification meet and kiss. It is a place of unconditional love. So that's the peace that Jesus gives to this lady. And she goes away healed. Because sometimes we think of peace as being a bit fluffy. It's a bit John Lennon-y. Peace on earth. But to have the right kind of peace, the shalom peace that Jesus gives this lady, we need everything to be put right. If you remember South Africa 20 years ago when finally they got democratic government and there was a hope for that country. They couldn't have peace without there being reconciliation, without there being justice. And that's what shalom is. It's peace, but the right sort of peace. It's peace that's wholeness and where things have been put right. Just to change our tack slightly, I want to do a very quick quiz. Now, I don't think anyone will get this, but you never know. There might be somebody who's good at this sort of thing, okay? Can you guess who this is from the nose? It's a famous celebrity. Didn't expect you would. It's actually Halle Berry. I wonder if you can guess this person from the nose. No. Difficult. It's actually Jude Law. Now, the reason that I've chosen these two people and their noses is because evidently in the States, and I suppose here as well, when people go for a nose job, they were the most popular noses to have your nose done as. Okay? So if any of you think you're going for a nose job, look up those two. Okay? But it's easy to compare ourselves with other people, isn't it? And our faith is a bit like that. I mean, my nose is by no means a brilliant nose, but it's enough to balance my glasses on, and I can smell my wife's curries, which she makes a really good curry. As long as it does those two jobs, I don't really mind, really. But sometimes we compare ourselves with other Christians and their faith. We think, if only I had the faith of some of these great men and women of faith. That's John Wesley, by the way, at the top left there, in case you didn't know. And the right bottom guy there is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's a German martyr. You think to yourself, I wish I had that sort of faith. But what I said at the beginning was, Jairus and the woman there in the story, they had just enough faith to go from here to Jesus. And that's all he asks of us. Okay? He doesn't ask that we're fantastic people of faith in other ways, but just that we've got enough to bring what faith we have to him. He can use it. Yeah? So, it's easy to feel that our faith is inferior. I know I do a lot. In the Bible, there are all kinds of sorts of examples of faith. And we all know, we can all think of 100 people in the Bible who have got great faith. We think of Abraham and Noah and Moses and people like that. And if you look in Hebrews 11, there's a list of great people of faith throughout the Bible. But if we just take a few, even just from the book of Luke itself, there's quite a few examples of different kinds of faith. And what I'd like us to do is I go through some of these examples and maybe just think, is that like my faith? And just think to yourselves, is this the sort of faith that God can use? How can God use my kind of faith? And how is God using my kind of faith? Maybe he already is using it in a mighty way. The first one I've got, and these are all in Luke, they're not just random examples throughout the Bible, is that of people who are meek. They don't even really push for a healing from Jesus. There's an example of a leper who just says, if you don't mind. I remember at school, somebody wrote on one of the lockers, the meek shall inherit the earth, if that's all right with you lot. It's that sort of meekness. Jesus, would you mind healing me, please? And Jesus healed that person. There's other examples, and only when I look through the gospel, I notice this. There's a lot of people who are just in the right place at the right time. They happen to be in church, in synagogue. They were stood there, a man with a withered hand. He didn't ask Jesus for a healing. He was just there in church. And Jesus says, we'd like him to heal that. And he goes, all right, and he gets healed. And sometimes we have a faith, some people have a faith. It's just like turning up and doing things. And if sometimes God can use that knack of being in the right place at the right time. Here's another faith, kind of faith, fascination. Zacchaeus, he was fascinated by Jesus. That was his faith. That's the faith he brought. It was like, who's this Jesus? I must know more about him. I have to find out. And if we have that kind of faith, other people will spot it in us and they'll get excited too. Maybe that's the sort of faith we've got. Maybe we've got a mixture of all these kinds of faith. Here's my kind. Stupid. Spelt with two O's in the middle. Stupid. I really identify with the prodigal son. Because that's the sort of faith I have. I let things get in a complete mess. Then I think to myself, like the prodigal son did, do you know what? If I go back to my dad, he'll help me. And some of us have a faith where we turn to God in the last resort. It's not the best faith to have, I have to say, but it's a kind of faith. And God respects that and God loves it. I don't know why God likes that sort of faith. But if we turn to him, even if it's the last resort, even if it's after a long time after we should have thought better, God loves any kind of faith that's going to take us from where we are to Jesus. That's good enough for him. Next one I've called jar smasher. I'm not sure these are very theological faith terms, but that's what I've called them. Do you remember the story of the lady who brought a jar of perfume, yeah, and smashed it at Jesus' feet, worth about 20,000 quid. A lot of money's worth of perfume. Do you know people, or maybe you on yourself, who God just tells you to do daft things? Yeah? Has God anyone told anyone here to do something a bit unusual? It can happen. But God needs people who will do weird things for him. God needs people who, with that sort of faith, that will go and do that thing that other people won't do. And if that's you, perhaps we need to come to God. Just let him tell us what we should be doing. But here's another one, a wheeler dealer. And a lot of people today have got this kind of faith. It's not much of a faith, but it's a faith. It's enough to get from there to there. And these are the sort of people who go, well, God, you know, I'll come to you. I'll come to you. And you've got to do something for me, but I will come to you. And if you think of the story that Jesus told about the shrewd manager, that wasn't a brilliant person at all. But at least it was somebody who was going to do a deal, who would talk to God. And again, if we have that faith that we'll at least be in a conversation with God and say, well, if you can help me, I'll come to you. Please help me. Or just the faith that Jairus and the woman had in this story, one of going, help, I'm desperate for you. I need you, Lord. But this is a good kind of faith to have, because it's the faith that we know we have to rely on God. Or here's the big one, Peter faith. Peter in the gospel is up and down. He's got a faith that one minute is really strong. Yes, Lord, I'll come and walk on the water. Next minute, that was a bad mistake. One minute he's saying, I'll always be with you. Next minute, he's denying Jesus. And we all have faith like that sometimes. We all have faith that goes up and down. One day we're great. The next day our faith isn't so good. And we wonder why. Why did I think that? But our inconstancy makes God all the more constant, doesn't it? The fact that we're up and down, that we're unreliable. After a while, we realise how reliable God is. You see, faith in all these examples, and there's other examples in Luke's gospel, or in all the gospels, where people have a good, solid faith. I've given a lot of examples of faith there, which are a bit questionable. But there's a centurion who said, you come and heal my servant, or just stay there and my servant will be healed, I don't mind. And Jesus marvelled at this man's faith. Or the boy who brought his packed lunch and gave it to the disciples and said, here, have this. People with a strong, simple faith. Whatever the faith is, whether it's a fantastic faith, a big faith, a small faith, as long as it's enough to bring us to Jesus, that's all he asks. It's interesting when we go door to door and meet people with all sorts of different faith experiences. And the sad fact is that a lot of the people we meet on the doors, they've got a faith. They've got something there. And it could be one of the ones I've just said, or you know, everyone's got their own faith, but they've never taken it to Jesus. It's just sat there in them and it's withered on the vine. Whatever we have, we've got to bring it to Jesus, like Jairus did, like the woman did. We've got to take our faith to him and let him do something with it. So just to sum up, let's live in that shalom peace that Jesus gave to the woman. That peace where everything is put right. Where there's no papering over the cracks, but we let God heal us properly. And we bring all our faults and failings to him and let him deal with them. And let's thank God for the faith that we have. For the individual faith, which is individual as a nose on our face. It's that individual. And it's individual to you, individual to me. But as long as it's enough to bring us to him, as long as we can give that faith to him, he can do mighty things with it. And finally, let's ask God to help spot that faith in other people. Whatever kind of faith it is. And let's tell them about Jesus and say, take your faith, bring it to him so that he can multiply it. He can do something with it. And it's not just there with you.